Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's session, Two Points of View at Two. I'm Rex Black, president of RBCS. We are a worldwide testing and quality assurance firm serving clients ranging from small startups to Fortune 20 global enterprises. Since 1994, we've delivered insight and confidence to hundreds of clients around the world. We have a team of international consultants that deliver customized training, consulting, and expert services to companies that are looking to improve their test and quality assurance practices. In this session, I am happy to welcome Michael Ma. Michael is managing partner of QSM Associates and past benchmark practice director for the Qatar Consortium, a Boston-based IT research firm. For over 20 years, QSM has created a large global database with defect and productivity statistics from many of the world's leading creators of software. You've seen a picture of him there. QSMA provides this research data and software estimation and planning models in its renowned Slim suite of tools. QSMA provides expert coaching, consulting, and training on achieving industry-leading cycle time and quality and delivered value for companies to commercially thrive while positively impacting their industries and driving change. So in this session, Michael and I will discuss defects, bug patterns observed in data, and how in today's competitive market, they can either make or break your product or even your company. We'll discuss some real-world case studies and key findings from real-world benchmarking and diagnostic engagements on what separates the leaders from the has-beens, or the soon-to-be has-beens in some cases. If you have any questions during the course of this webinar, please feel free to submit them at any time, but please note that we, Michael and I, will be answering them at the end. So let's just jump right into it. Michael, I'll queue up the first slide here, and then I'm going to make you the presenter so you can then drive the slide deck forward from here.
Great. Okay. So that means that I should be able to advance the slides just with a space bar. Is that correct?
You should be. I think at this point you'll be seeing a some kind of change in your screen that'll allow you to move things forward. If you can't get it to work, just tell me to do it from my side and I will do it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everyone, and welcome. My name is Michael Ma, as Rex mentioned, and I've got some stories to tell about my experience and observations as a researcher in the software quality dimension. Let's go to the slide, Rex. I can't quite make it out. Let's go to the slide that shows the nuclear submarine there.
Yeah, okay. We'll jump forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the nuclear submarine. Oops.
Okay, so back when I was a young aerospace engineer, having been inspired by the Apollo space program, and if any of you are moviegoers, don't miss the Apollo 11 film, which has footage found in NASA vaults that's been hidden for 50 years, showing Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landing on the moon. But at one point in my career, I was put in charge of the QA test group for the Trident nuclear submarine, all things. And the first time that I found defect curve related to software quality came when we were modeling the Trident submarine software, specifically the navigation system. One of the things about a nuclear submarine and the software code that flies this ship, 2 football field lengths long, under the ocean, around things like Yosemite valleys and Mount Everest that lie beneath the ocean surface, invisible to the landlubber, is a very complex and sophisticated navigation system with twin gyroscopes, 5 mainframe processors, velocity measurement, sonar systems, and all kinds of communication, command, and control in order to safely fly this submarine. And we found that we were able to observe what's called a Rayleigh defect curve. So let's go to the next slide and take a look at that. Because a Rayleigh defect curve simply refers to the fact that in all system engineering, There is a mathematical profile that illustrates the identification of bugs that are found and fixed. The curve builds up to a peak, and then the curve actually has what's called a long tail. And those bugs on that Rayleigh tail either have a high volume with a long tail or a low peak volume and a shorter tail. And that's the very thing. If you have that curve in any of your systems, and all of them have it, if it is invisible to you, you will not be aware of a thing that is going to determine whether you make your deadline. And in our case, we found and felt that it was extremely vital to know when that curve peaked and when that curve was tailing down. And as a quality engineering team and test engineers that were responsible for finding the bugs and fixing them, we wanted to drive that curve down as quickly as possible. And the quality of your processes, the level at which you improve your processes, is what will drive that curve down. And if you fail at it, you'll miss your date. If you succeed at it, you may even exceed your date. And in the case of the Trident submarine, we more than made our date because we knew the curve. Now, a couple of organizations in the news right now that have not known the curve or do not know the curve at their peril. One happens to be for the younger generation of us out here, or you out there, is an application called Snapchat on your iPhone. And Snapchat experienced a redesign, or the CEO, Evan Spiegel, decided that he was going to dictate and demand a redesign with a very aggressive date, throwing a lot of people on it, trying to build a lot of code in a very short time. So I'll ask you to consider a thought. If you decide that you're going to lay down the gauntlet and say, you shall make this very aggressive date, and we're going to throw a lot of people on it and compress the schedule, do you think your Rayleigh defect curve will go down and shrink, or will it go up and explode? So with that pause, we think about that, and we know it's going to go up and explode. Mm-hmm. So not only did it go up and explode, but they released it prematurely to the market because the date arrived. And lo and behold, they lost a massive number of their client base. And they killed the company's valuation from about $24 billion to about $6 billion. So in this case, not knowing your Rayleigh defect curve can cost you your company $18 billion of stock valuation.
That's kind of ironic, being that it was Snapchat, and one of their claims to fame is that, you know, after a certain period of time, the pictures just disappear. So I guess after a certain period of time, their valuation just disappeared.
We'll see if the company survives. So not only could you miss your deadline, but you could actually lose your company. So who knows if Evan Spiegel will stay on as the CEO. And we'll see. Time will tell. Another story, and I got two more, has to do with, goodness gracious, just look at the news about the Boeing MAX 8.
Yeah.
So having been also consulting to Boeing and the Collins Avionics Division in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, being a pilot myself and flying aircraft, in my case, I have a single-engine Piper Cherokee that I love and I fly. I've got about 1,000 hours of time in my logbook and maybe about 2,000 takeoffs and landings. And it's always good to have the number of your landings match the number of your takeoffs.
So a good landing is one that you walk away from, and a great landing is one where you can reuse the airplane, right?
There you go. But one thing about Boeing's situation with the 737 MAX, which I guess up until this last month was responsible for about $100 billion of their aircraft orders, they were under pressure to beat the market or race to the market against Airbus. And the MCAS flight control software, I no doubt believe was under incredible time pressure to deploy. And this MCAS software, for those of you who are not familiar with it from following the news, tries to prevent an aircraft stall if the nose pitches up on a plane too high, resulting in lift being lost by the wings and the plane falling. So what the automated system does is take over the aircraft in an autopilot type of control and pushes the nose down. And the problem is a bug in the system was pushing the nose down when in fact there was no urgency to prevent a stall. So there was no doubt a Rayleigh curve that built up to a peak and had a tail. And when Boeing discovered this at some point along this curve, they had a patch that they had to get to market quickly. And unfortunately, that speed of getting it deployed was delayed by, of all things, from what we're hearing now in the news just yesterday, the government shutdown. So the FAA government shutdown and impacted a number of things, not just air traffic control, but the deployment of software fixes in maintenance of aircraft. Captain Sully Sullenberger talks about this even before. He was quite prescient in recognizing that there was a very dangerous risk in terms of flight safety because of the government shutdown, which pushed the tail out. So in essence, if you're looking at this curve, you could be inserting a gap of 5 to 6 weeks between the point that a bug is fixed and a bug is fixed, a fix is deployed out into the field, shifting that curve to the right. So again, not knowing the curve, you do so at your own peril. So let's go to the next slide. And
next one or the previous one? Is it this? I think there's one that has a bug curve on it, software defects and when they occur.
Yeah, let's go forward. There we go. So bugs come in many forms, and they could be anywhere from a coding error to a requirements error. In this case, this is, you know, possibly a systems engineering error with the MAX 8, and I would say it's a severity one. loss of life, system down or plane down, right? Yep. So hopefully we will learn from this in a very serious way and understand that if we are able to recognize the inherent nature of software physics when it comes to bug curves and accelerating the curve downward, we don't want to do things that are going to push the curve to the right. And so that's what we do. That's what RBCS does. That's what QSM Associates does. We're about being able to identify defects when they occur, benchmark them against an industry database of statistics, about 10,000 projects in our library, which in our unique way, we actually push that data to the desktop so that you could compare yourself against your peers. So let's go to the next slide, let's look at what it might look like as we talk about ideas. Let's go to the next one, Rex.
Yep, that one? The benchmark against industry trends?
Yeah, let's go to that.
Okay.
So this is an organization that was looking to identify their defect curve and whether they were above or below, and they were going through a transformation to creating co-located teams, pair programming, extreme programming in the writings of Kent Beck, one of the early founders of Agile Systems Engineering. And in the blue dots there, what you're seeing is the number of bugs in their Rayleigh curve on the rightmost 30%, a total tally of the count of their bugs, the volume of defects found and fixed, and what was their traditional development environment, which had a certain software process. And the black line in the center is the number of bugs for the industry average in the QSM library of database statistics.
It's probably worth pointing out here too, Michael, that this is a logarithmic scale. So while that appears to be a nice gentle upward line there, what you've actually got is exponential increase.
Correct. It's a curve that goes up dramatically. So as the size of software systems increases from small on the left to medium in the middle to larger on the right, the actual linear chart, but we made it into an easier to read straight line by using a logarithmic scale, it goes exponentially up. It's like a parabola. But those two black dots, which are way, it's about twice the volume above that center line, the way you read that is the number of bugs in this organization, they were seeing two times the number of bugs in the code compared to industry averages. Now, for medical systems for that supports hospitals and doctors, having double the number of defects in your code is not a good thing. So in the span of trying to consult with experts like RBCS and others, they were looking to improve their processes. And on the left, those three dots where people were put together in one room, time differences were shrunk by not having people in different time zones. They were working in pairs, like a pilot and co-pilot building code, doing it at the same time, like Sully and First Officer Jeff Skiles flying the plane at the same time, covering each other. In those three red circles, they found the defects were half the industry average in the after scenario. So you have before in blue and after in red. And then the after scenario, their bugs were half the industry average. So now if you go from double the industry average in the before to half the industry average in the after, what's the end-to-end difference? Improvement. It's a factor of four.
And so
So
this
if
would
we
be
go.
one of your fact-based decisions here that you were we were talking about when we were putting this together, right? Of know where you stand against your peers and make decisions based on facts. In this case,
Correct.
related to defense.
Exactly. Exactly. And this went up to senior leadership. So one of the things that we do in being advocates for engineering teams is as neutral third parties, as observers, industry experts on the outside, we can speak in an objective fashion to the CEO, CIO, saying we're actually seeing measured results here. The data is backing it up. The data charts our course. We've improved our quality by a factor of four. We've cut our bug density by one fourth down to one fourth from double the industry average to half. So this is a useful thing, a mechanism that we actually show people how to do. It's typically in a very agile fashion, done over a span of couple of weeks to capture the data and another 2 to 4 weeks most to present the results to the ship or to the team. Because if you don't know where you are, a roadmap usually doesn't help. So our first thing is to find out, well, where you are. So let's progress to the next slide, Rex, and I'll wrap it up. Maybe open it up to questions. And the final success story I have is an organization that I'll go back. Sorry,
Go
go
back.
back. I'm not in order here. One more.
This one.
Again. There you go. I want to highlight the red to wrap up because one group that I've keep going. We went too far right there. The best software made by highly experienced teams co-located in one place, working on one thing, given the best tools and empowered to self-organize. So I've kind of made the beginning slide. I changed it to make it the conclusion. That's the assertion. And the data that I showed earlier is designed to support that statement because we see it from the data. And the final case study that I'll give as an example is a company in the Chicago area where they not only had those three dots in the lower, 50% below industry average, but over a course of measuring for a number of years, they're at the 85th percentile. And when we started working with them, their revenue on an annual basis was about $1.8 billion. And in charting the course of driving their defects down to where they are now, all of their projects are in the red zone and then below, they're in a better 85th percentile, where if industry is seeing for every 100 bugs that's out there in their peer group, they're only experiencing 15. Not 50, but 15. And I'll kind of wrap what I'm going to say here, and then we'll open it up to discussion between me and Rex and questions, where when we presented this to the CEO and the president of the division, we were basically explaining that they had achieved the edge of the speed of sound envelope in their software quality from measuring, improving, measure again, improve again, measure again, improve again, and using expertise like what's available by folks who've seen best practices all around the industry. And now they're at the leading edge. And the president and CEO said to us, well, that's great, but how about the next frontier? How do we know that we're building the right things to really disrupt the marketplace and to really drive change and to really drive revenue? And so that's where we're now taking the organization, not just in engineering, but ways of thinking of prioritizing, categorizing, indexing what goes into the backlog to be built in the first place by this top gun group of software and systems engineers, so that what they build is just as important, if not more important, than how fast they build it and how clean their code is. And so with them now taking that approach, they've now hit about $3.6 billion in annual revenue compared to about $1.8 when we started.
Nice.
And that's the kind of success that RBCS and our firm hope that we can replicate in the future. So with that, I'll leave that on a positive note.
Cool.
And open it up, Rex, for your comments and the audience's questions.
Well, let me throw the advertisement up here, contact information. We'll open it up to Q&A at this point. While we're waiting for the initial questions to come in, first off, just it turns out that I had a learning curve issue that I needed to go through with what happens when I make somebody else the presenter. Should have realized this. It shows their screen. So, Michael, there was a little bit of confusion there right at the beginning where people were not seeing the submarine, but instead were seeing the seeing your screen, which was showing the welcome screen. So we got that fixed, but there's a kind of a little glitch that shows that we can have defects in pretty much anything. One of the things that I wanted to touch on just related to, that curve that you were showing. Let me go back to that one. This guy here, I think, people see this and of course they go, less defects is good. Right. But sometimes people don't realize, how big the impact is. Like you were talking about them, this organization going from being a $1.8 billion company to a $3 billion company. And I've seen that similar kinds of things where I did an assessment on a defect management assessment for a large Fortune 50 company once. And based on the numbers that we were seeing in terms of late discovery of defects or defects escaping into the field, they had anywhere from $100 million to $250 million in losses associated with that. And this is on a $1 billion annual IT budget, right? So this is 10 to 25% of their annual IT budget being lost, basically right, just due to mismanagement of defects. Did a quick study for a client about a year and a half ago, went in and just looked at their incident management. In the space of less than a week, I was able to find $10 million in recapturable incident management loss. Stuff that, when I say recapturable, I mean, investing $10,000, $20,000, maybe $100,000 in two or three different initiatives would have allowed them to save that. So it's not just this sort of anodyne statement like, oh yeah, less bugs is better. It's really, it's a dramatic impact.
Correct. And what I'd say onto that, Rex, as well, is that we used to think, let's just build the code as quickly as we can, and then test like hell to try to make the deadline. And that kind of like, well, let's just throw the bodies at it. There's a geometric rise in defects with every linear rise in throwing people on the project. So if I go from 10 people and I want to make the date and I add 10 more and I double my staff to 20, if I ask the question, how many more bugs do you think will be in that same code in the 20 versus 10 scenario? Do you think it'd be double? And people would say, no, it's not double. It's more than double. Mm-hmm. They'd be correct. Yeah. It's oftentimes quadruple. And in the worst case, six times more. So the rough rule of thumb is if you double your number of headcount to try to compress your schedule, maybe you want to compress it by 20%, you'll drive your bugs up by 4 to 6 times. And the thing that will keep you from making your date are the volume of bugs that you have to test.
Yep.
Well, so now, bugs too. Yeah. Yeah, so it'll eat your deadline for sure, to speak about our title. Yeah. But sometimes when the date comes, people say, the date is here, ship it and hold your nose. Right? And you hope that didn't happen with Boeing and the MCAS system for the 737 MAX 8. Because if those bugs leaked into the field because they rush it to market to beat Airbus, then we're talking about a loss of life that should have been avoidable, right?
Yeah. Well, that is, of course, the assertion that I'm hearing, you know, in some of the news reports. Now, you know, I mean, it's one thing to say that, right? It's a totally different thing to have an email between, you know, project managers or senior executives or something that comes out and says that, but you know, you can imagine that there will be a lawsuit. And Michael, I'm sure you've done some expert witness work as I have. And in that case, you know that one of the things you do when you're in these kind of situations as an expert witness is you read a lot of emails with Bates numbers at the bottom of the page in PDF form, right? And if such an email exists, it's quite likely to come out in discovery.
Right. So with that, a typical question as we get into the last couple of minutes for questions where people say, well, what's the alternative? How do we do it differently? And in some process improvement systems scenarios, what we do is try to create an environment where you are actually working to create high quality code first. And because of that, you get your schedule, because you're not stuck in testing. And then you get your schedule by using real quality processes and automated testing and sophisticated test coverage analysis and test, you know, QA consulting to be able to drive the rate of that downslope on that defect curve sooner. So we measure that all along the way, and people might say, well, is that something that we can be taught to do? And the answer is yes.
Yep.
We often say, well, you give someone a fish, you feed them for a day, but if you teach them to fish, they get fed for a lifetime. So I know, Rex, you'll oftentimes say that while we offer the kind of expertise we do to organizations, we also teach them how to be us, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of being a consultant is, you know, actually teaching people how to solve their problems, right? Not just pointing out their problems, but saying, okay, here's your problem, and here's what I recommend you do to address that. And of course, in this case, one of the things that you have to make the kind of changes that we're talking about here is, you know, good defect and incident data, right? So you got to be able to actually understand what the facts are to make, you know, as you were referring to before, these fact-based decisions.
Right. So as we wrap, Rex, do we have any questions from the audience that we want to try to get to before we close?
I think it looks like between the two of us, we covered it all. So
great.
I think we're in good shape. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and put the closing words in here, and then we'll sign off.
Okay.
Cool. So, Michael, thank you again for joining me and for this interesting information. Apologies to the audience for my pilot error. Notice that Michael's actually the pilot. I'm not, so it's an explicable thing. I hope all of you, in spite of my pilot error, enjoyed this free webinar from RBCS. We do these free webinars as a service to the software testing community because at RBCS, we are a not just for profit company. If you enjoy free webinars like this and feel that they demonstrate solid insights into the kinds of testing challenges you face, please make RBCS and or QSMA your preferred software testing and quality vendors for any kind of expert services, consulting, or training you may need. Send us an email, and we'll be happy to provide you a quote for any such help. So once again, thank you, Michael, for your time and attention and excellent insights. And thanks to the audience for attending, and look forward to seeing many of you on subsequent webinars.
Thank you, Rex.